Life is filled with lots and lots of different choices. I'm sure those of you who've been around in this life longer than I have will know exactly what I'm talking about. What should we wear? I stood up this morning, woke up this morning, and I asked Helen, what do you think I should put on today? This shirt or that shirt? This tie or that tie? We have choices about what we should eat. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning thinking, I wonder what we can do for lunch. It's a bit cooler today. Maybe I should have put that chicken in the oven before we left. Perhaps you're sitting and wondering, well, what car should I buy? My car's giving up the ghost. I'm needing to do lots of work on it. Maybe we need to buy a new car. Perhaps some of our choices are, well, I've got these friends. What should I go with these friends or those friends? They've both invited me out to something. Where should I go? What should I do? Perhaps in terms of money, you're asking yourself the question, I wonder if it wouldn't be better to invest my money there rather than here. And we have hundreds of choices to make. Unfortunately, none of those choices will actually affect or determine our destiny in life. Some of them might be helpful for us in the moment, and so perhaps it's a wise choice to change our investment because it will bring in more income for us and help us here and now. Perhaps what car, what friends, etc. But none of them will shape our eternal destiny, our eternal future. In this section in 1 John chapter 2, John now goes on to talk about what will shape our destiny. Having just urged us in the previous couple of sections in his letter to live the true Christian life, to be authentic Christians, to love our Christian brothers and sisters, he now goes on to talk about how we should live in this world if we want eternal life with God himself. In other words, John is commanding us, and in fact he does command us, do not is a command in the original language. John is commanding us to make a choice in life. Notice what John says in verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. This is a big choice that all of us have to make. Well, let's get stuck in and look at the two options that are before us this morning that John is throwing out at us. And firstly, this morning, I want us to have a look at loving the world. Option number one in the choice that we have to make. We've just read John's command in verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Why do you think John is saying that? Why do you think John goes on from speaking about loving one another and speaking about what an authentic Christian is all about? Why do you think John now goes on and says, do not love the world or anything in it? Well, actually, he answers his own question, and you will see there in verse 15, he says, because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's quite straightforward, isn't it, really? If we claim to be a Christian, and by that I mean someone who has accepted the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and lives their lives accordingly. Yet if we love the world, John says, then God's love is not in us. Or perhaps to put it bluntly, if we love the world more than we love God, then we are not a Christian. That's what John's telling us here, friends. And it's perhaps a wake-up call to many of us. You see, John is going on to carry on defining what an authentic Christian is. And he's continuing to show us that the person who claims to follow Jesus, who has handed his life over to him, and must love God the Father more than anything else. Which includes, of course, loving him more than we love the world. But I think it's worth pausing here for a moment before we get stuck into what John is trying to say to us. And just trying to find what John means when he means the world. Because many have said, oh look, you see this verse tells us here that we must now isolate ourselves from the rest of the world. We must now live in our own little units and forget about the world around us. God says, do not love the world. But I don't think that's what John's meaning here, because in chapter 3 and chapter 4, going into chapter 5, John speaks about the fact that we need to love those outside the church. So if John is meaning we must isolate ourselves and not be part of the world, then how can he go on to say in the next few verses and chapters that we must then love those in the world? So I don't think John is saying to us as Christians that we must now lock ourselves into our little homes and have our holy little huddles and never meet with the people in the world. You see, that's what John is trying to show us. What is the world? What's he on about? Well, I think when John speaks of the world in this context, he's meaning the influences and the attractions that the world has. How do I know that? How do I know he's not saying we must isolate ourselves? How do I know that he's saying that I think it's the attractions and the influences of the world with us? Well, look at verse 16, where I think John defines what the world is. John tells us, for everything in the world, and now he explains what he means by the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. Those things do not come from the Father, but from the world. Do you notice the emphasis that John is placing here? That he's bringing to our attention what we must hate, what we must not love? It's the things that come from within ourselves. You notice them, the cravings, the lust, and the boasting. Too often as Christians, I think we define who are Christians and who aren't Christians by people that, you know, by what people do, by the places they visit, by how they behave. How often do we define a Christian by what's going on within our own life? We'll say, I'm a Christian, yet we do this, we do that, we do the next thing. How often do we look at ourselves and say, I know the world has got wicked things in it, but what about my own life? What about my own cravings, my own lusts, my own boasting? You see, that's why I say when John speaks about the world here, he's speaking about the influences of the world and the attractions that the world has to offer. And so when John says, do not love these things in the world, I think he's speaking to each of us directly. Our motives, our attitudes, our minds and our wills. The very things that direct and guide our actions. And that's what John is speaking about here. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus when speaking to the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7. Verse 20 to 23, he says, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of man's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. That's what John's talking about in this passage. When he's saying do not love the world, he's not saying go and isolate yourself. Rather, he's saying look at yourself and how the world is influencing you and stop doing those things. Stop loving those things. In other words, if we love what the world is telling us more than what God, the Father in heaven, is saying to us, then the love of God is not with us. Now, I'd like to just very briefly unpack each of those three elements that John is talking about here. The three things: the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does. And each one I want to have a look at in turn. So firstly, as we love the world, we love our cravings. See, these are all the things that we pander towards in feeding our appetites. Now, obviously, appetites can cover a vast range of things. We have appetites for food, so our stomachs. We have sexual appetites. We have the appetite, perhaps, for more money or success. And all these things, not wrong in themselves, but can be influenced by the world. And our attitude to them is often taken by how the world views it. Just watch TV for 10 or 15 minutes. No doubt you'll come across an advert, and an advert that came to mind while I was working through this talk was one of those silly dandruff adverts. You've seen them. And there's a guy there, and he's brushing his hair, and he jumps into this really smart car, and he races around, and the whole thing. And the whole gist of the advert is, if you use our shampoo, you'll have success in life. There was another one on last night where a guy had some anti-dandruff shampoo, and all the girls came flocking towards him. Yeah, we laugh at it, but we are influenced by that, aren't we? You see, we think if we use a certain product, if we do something in a certain way, we will be seen as successful. We'll have those nice cars. We'll have all those girls following us. The alcohol ads are just as bad, aren't they? Drink this beer, drink that whiskey, have this whatever. And well, what's the attitude? One of the adverts go, in this world, everyone is perfect. Do you see? Can you see how the world influences us? And so we have these cravings. We think, well, I have to have this or that or the next thing. We think we need, we have to have certain friends. See, our appetites for food are exactly the same, aren't they? We have to shop at a certain shop because, well, the food is way better quality there. Not that there's anything wrong with the food in the other shops. But can you see how the world has influenced us to making us think that if we buy from that shop, we are better off? And that's pushed our food budgets through the roof. What about our drive for money? The world says the more money you have, the better off you are, the more popular you will be, the more successful you are seen. And so we have to have better investments. We're always meddling with the market somewhere. Oh, I've got to get more money out of this. What? No ways, I can't only have that interest. I've got to have more. And so we work harder. We climb corporate ladders. All in the name of trying to be successful, trying to be popular. John is telling us, in fact, commanding us, that these cravings are of the world, and we must stop them. See, status is another big thing, isn't it? We all want status. We all want people to notice us. We all want people to like us. If I have lots of friends, then I am important. And so we do everything within our grasp to get more friends. In fact, we even demand sometimes that people will be our friends. You will be my friend, we might say. So why? We can have status. We can be popular. Friends, that's the world's influences on us. John says, stop it. In fact, David Jackman, a commentator who wrote on 1 John, says this: the person controlled by their cravings for self-indulgence is not free. They are, in fact, the devil's prisoner. John says, if you love these things and crave to have them, then the love of the Father is not in you. So let me ask you this question today, friends. What is it that you and I are craving? What is it that you and I are spending all our time to try and get? Is it money? Is it food? Is it status? Is it friends? Well, the list could go on and on. You add in your thing. John says, as Christians, we have to learn to say no to those cravings. But secondly, I want us to notice that loving the world also includes our lust. And although lust can be similar to cravings, there are some differences. Because notice that John talks here in verse 16 about the lust of our eyes. The idea of, I see it, I want it, I'll have it. And so, well, we see those people on the beach and we lust after them. Pornography is a big problem today. Many people lust after things like that. John tells us that this doesn't come from the Father, but from the world. Even food, do we not lust after better and nicer food? So we see those adverts, Christmas has just passed, and we saw all those lovely adverts for those gammons, for the turkeys and everything. Our juice buds got watered, and we were lusting after those things. Oh, we have to have. Again, an advert on TV, you remember those adverts for the ambassador's banquets and serving those, what was that, Ferrero Rocher or something, those little chocolates. And we see that and we think, oh, I have to have chocolates. And so we lust after what our eyes have seen. Perhaps it even goes to possessions. So our next door neighbor, we've noticed that he's just thrown this huge big box out with a nice 75-inch flat screen TV. And we think, oh, I have to have one. And we lust after. Again, I could talk about money, could talk about possessions, status, friends. But I hope, friends, you're starting to see what John is saying here. We need to be working hard at judging our own reactions to covetousness. You remember God's command to the Israelites, Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, we don't have oxen and donkeys today, but perhaps we could put their flat screen TV and computer. Perhaps we could put their fancy car and large house. Can you see what John is saying? If we lust after these things, the love of the Father is not in us. And often it's lust that drives us to these things because we think it gives us significance and purpose in this world. And thirdly, John says, not only do we have cravings and lust, but we also have boasting. I remember a number of years ago, I was in a group of people and, I don't know, we got on to talking about speeding fines. Perhaps you've been in a situation like this before and everybody's got a better story. And, I was doing, 80 Ks in the 60 zone and I got a $300 fine. Oh, that's nothing. I was doing 100 in a 60 zone and I got a $500 fine. And so the story continues, and by the end it got ridiculous. Someone had been doing 200 in a 120 zone and got nailed with a 30 grand fine or something. I don't know what. And fine, we do talk about that. But you know where the boasting came in? It was on how each of these managed to get their fine squashed to almost nothing. Oh, I had a 30 grand fine. I only had to pay 2,000 rand. And we brag about these things. See, I think many of us are guilty of that, aren't we? Not of talking about speeding fines and getting them squashed, but of boasting about things. Oh, did you see that? I'm not like that. I'm better than that. Is that not a form of boasting? Or perhaps we see what others have got and say, well, mine's better than that. Oh, you must really do this and that. And we boast about how to do things. See, John wants us to be radical in our self-criticism, looking in at ourselves and how we live our lives. Now, notice that John tells us here in verse 15 and 16, that we are not to crave after these things of the world, or to lust after them, after the things that we see, or to boast in the things that we have or have done. But I want us to notice the first part of verse 17. Why shouldn't we do that? Well, there's, I think, two reasons. One, because the love of the Father is not in us. But notice the second reason that John gives us here. Verse 17, the world and its desires pass away. We continue to live under the influence of the world, thinking that our cravings and lusts and boasting is winning the favor of God. We can convince ourselves that more money, better lifestyle, more popularity, etc., will give us a better life. But John tells us, actually, it leads nowhere. The world will pass away, and we will have none of it. We live for the things that cannot last, yet we focus our whole lives on them. John says, if we love these things, you cannot love the Father. It is one or the other. As Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, you cannot have two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, or serve the one and forget the other. And that's exactly what John is talking about here. But John doesn't leave it there. He doesn't leave us now and having whipped us and told us we're all bad people and we must stop these things. He goes on to give us some hope as we face the world. And this is my second point this morning, and by far the shorter point, so don't get worried that we're going to go over time. John tells us the other option in the choice that we have to make is loving the Father. End of verse 17. But the man who does the will of God, notice what happens to him, lives forever. Can you see the difference? We spend our lives chasing after the things of the world. Why? Well, I don't know. Because they don't last. Shouldn't we rather spend our lives chasing after things that will last? You see, John speaks about here the will of God for us. So what is God's will? Well, in this letter of John, and also in other portions of the Bible, numerous things come to the fore of what is God's will for us. In 1 Thessalonians, God's will for us is to be sanctified. We'll be looking at that this week in our Bible study. In other words, God's will for us is to be holy. God's will is also for us to love the Father. So how do we love the Father? We'll turn on one page, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. We'll get to that in a few weeks. But just have a look very briefly at that verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. John tells us that God's will for us is to love him. How do we love God? Well, by loving his Son. We cannot love God without loving his Son. And so John tells us we must love God through his Son. So friends, if anyone comes up to you and says, no, that's fine, I believe in God, you believe in God, good, that's cool, we're both safe. But they deny the Son. Well, the Bible is clear on that fact. If we deny the Son, we do not love God. Friends, God's will is that we will turn to Jesus. That we will love Jesus. And so by loving Jesus, we will love God. And notice that as we love Jesus, it leads to eternal life. So we've had a challenge laid before us this morning, friends, not to love the things of this world, the influences, the attitudes that affect our minds more than we like to think. But we have a choice this morning that we need to make on what is going to be our guiding principle. What is it that we are going to be doing? Do we want to get what I want and live for myself? Or do I want to obey God's will and love his Son? And as we love his Son, of course, that leads to doing what his Son wants us to do. In one sense, we've been talking today about the difference between heaven and hell. Heaven, the will of God, loving his Son, doing what he wants. Hell, living for myself, living for the desires of this world. Now we need to be careful here very briefly, and I'll close with this. At no point are we sane, and at no point is John sane, that because we live in a certain way, we are accepted by God. Because John tells us, no, we must follow God's will, which is to love his Son. And when we love his Son, then we will love to do what the Son wants us to do. So friends, if we claim to love Christ and follow him, then we need to live our lives in a way that shows it. One commentator said, only such a genuine commitment can adequately express the love we owe him for all that he has done to us. So friends, as we wrap things up this morning, which option are you going to take in life? Option one, which involves our self-fulfillment, perhaps being popular, perhaps having enough money to do everything we want and having all the nice to haves, which actually will all pass away. Or option two, which involves doing the will of God as we strive to be like him because of what he has done for us. It's your choice, friends. I can't make that choice for you. But friends, we need to make that choice. Perhaps this morning you've never actually considered that choice before and you've always just thought, oh, well, I'm good, that's cool, I'm fine. But you realize this morning that as John has said, do not love these things, that you have in fact not got the love of God in you. Why don't you come chat to me? I'd love to chat to you about this and how I can help you to make the choice for yourself. But friends, if we are Christians, if we have made that choice already, then are we doing our best not to be influenced by the world? Not to get caught up in the advertising campaigns that if we have this or do that or buy the next thing, then we are better. Friends, help. Let's pray and ask for God to help us to do his will are not our own. So let's pray. Lord, we do just come to you this morning, Lord, and Lord, we want to just lay our lives before you this morning as we reflect on how the world has influenced us in more ways, Lord, than perhaps we even know. And Lord, while your word still commands us to go and love those in the world, we know, Lord, that we should not love the things of this world. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just help us to look at ourselves, our own sinful cravings, our own lusting of our eyes, and our own boasting. And that you would help us to take stock of that and what you want us to do. Help us, Lord, to focus on the things that will last, and not on the things that will pass away. And so, Lord, we ask for your help in this regard. In your name, amen.